Pat Brooks. I'm the co-chair of the Onyx Organizing Committee and part of the Coalition for Justice for Oscar Grant. We're here today because we know that this month, Johannes Mezzali, the man who shot and killed unarmed Oscar Grant in the back, is going to be released in June, and we are outraged. We are outraged not only at that injustice, but the injustice that continues daily on the streets of Oakland. We also want the community to know that on the day of his release, we are planning a massive protest. We will gather here at 3 o'clock for another press conference, and then we'll converge on 14th and Broadway to engage in acts of rage and protest against a system that continuously murders innocent people in the streets, not only in Oakland, but across the country. So today we're going to hear from several activists that have been in this movement since it began. And first, I'd like to bring up, immediately following this press conference, this group that you see behind us, we're breaking the teams. Several of us will hop onto the BART station and we'll be handing out flyers announcing the release of Mezzali into the streets, and the rest of us will be flyering throughout the streets of Fruitvale District and then going downtown to do some more flyering there. So first I'd like to bring up Rachel Jackson from the New Year's Movement.
Hi, thanks. It's Rachel, R-A-C-H-E-L, Jackson, J-A-C-K-S-O-N, and it's the New Year's Movement. We're also part of the Coalition for Justice for Oscar Grant. We're coming out this week once again to mobilize in the community because of the miscarriage of justice that occurred in the trial for Johannes Mezzali and the subsequent sentence that he received of 2 years. We are, of course, concerned about the trial. Some people may say, well, you know, get over it. A jury found him guilty of involuntary manslaughter. But we know that there were many problems with the trial itself, including the fact that there were no African-American jurors on the trial, that it was moved to Los Angeles County, supposedly because he couldn't get a fair trial here. We also know that the jury was essentially given misleading instructions by Judge Perry. The jury specifically asked, when they came up with the involuntary manslaughter conviction, they specifically asked if they would be able to give the gun enhancement, and which would carry an additional 10 years. The judge told them that they could, and then when it came down to time to sentence Mezzali, Judge Perry overrode that gun enhancement, which left Johannes Mezzali with the minimum sentence possible. We're concerned because not only was this case a miscarriage of justice, but it is setting the tone and is creating an atmosphere where police officers, law enforcement, especially in California, feel that they can operate with impunity. And if they do get brought up on charges, that they essentially are immune from prosecution. What Johannes Mezzali got was not only just a slap on the wrist, he still did less than half of the 2-year sentence that he was supposed to do, and he served his time in the county jail. He never even went to prison. He served his time in the LA County jail like someone would for traffic tickets. The other obvious thing is the discrepancy in sentencing. We know that around the same time that Johannes Mezzali received 2 years for shooting Oscar Grant in the back, that Michael Vick received 4 years for abusing dogs. We know that Wesley Snipes, around the same time, received 3 years for some problems with his taxes. And then with protesters, we see that some protesters have been facing 2 years for lighting garbage cans on fire, or allegedly lighting garbage cans on fire. So what we see in the end is that dogs, money, and garbage are worth more in the eyes of the court than the life of Oscar Grant and the well-being of all of his friends. It's setting a precedent in California, this particular case, because we know that dozens of murders have occurred since then. The police have killed dozens of people. The district attorneys have continuously returned either that they've decided not to file criminal charges, or that the police departments and police commissions rule that the shootings were justified. We saw that in the case here recently with the shooting of Derek Jones. We saw that with the shooting of Raheem Brown and also with Fred Collins by the BART police. We're back to protest again and to take to the streets, because if people aren't in the streets, we know that there will be no accountability and the police will continue to murder people and use excessive force and commit the kinds of corruption that they're doing all over the place. We feel that things have moved backwards since the trial. Initially, it was important because of community action. The district attorney had to prosecute, but since then, we've seen Mezzali do less than half of his 2-year sentence. Marcel Dominici and Tony Peroni have been reinstated to the BART police, where they can continue to engage in acts of misconduct and discrimination and racial profiling there. And BART has been taken off the hook in the civil trial. We are waiting to hear if the Department of Justice is going to do anything different, but until then, we are going to continue to take to the streets and continue to protest, including on the day that Messerly is released. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Mario Hankton from the Coalition for Justice for Oscar Grant. I just wanted to note that incredibly less violent... Oh, I'm sorry. Mario, M-A-R-I-O, Hankton, H-A-N-K-T-O-N. Thanks. I just wanted to note that incredibly less violent people with minor offenses are not allowed to continue their lives, obtain employment, in some cases are not even allowed to move into their own neighborhoods. But in Oakland, law enforcement, who purports to be held to the highest standard of law, are allowed to be totally dismissive in the case of ultimate wrongdoing, for example, ending somebody's life. In the case of Dominici and others, they're hired back with pay and no additional requirements necessary to continue abuses and profiling. How extreme a message is that? What better way to make a group of people feel targeted, criminalized? You know, the absence of compassion for the family and the community involved is sad, and it's very revealing. And then when a crime happens in our community, it's treated as peculiar when citizens don't trust law enforcement. You know, the absence of consequence of the individuals involved in this particular crime will have long-standing and devastating consequences on the future relationship between law enforcement and certain members of the community. And I know that's okay with a lot of folks, but only because they don't realize we're actually just one community. I feel like if you want to stop crime and violence, then stop crime and stop violence, and recognize that no human being's life holds more worth than another's. That's a very violent and dangerous viewpoint to hold, and it's prevalent in Oakland. You know, look at the 10 and 11 subsequent murders. It's affecting us, and it's in a deadly manner. And it affects us all, really, law enforcement included, directly or indirectly. Thanks.
Hello, everyone. My name is Cephas Johnson. That is, I am Oscar Grant's uncle. Standing next to me at this time is also Jack Bryson, who had two sons on the platform same night Oscar was murdered. I'm here today showing the solidarity that the family has with the community. We are extremely grateful that the community has stood with us again, been to court with us, utilized their First Amendment right to speak to the injustice that they witnessed, what happened on that platform, and again showing their solidarity by calling this press conference so that the world can know that we do not just stand here idle accepting what we have become the witness, Johannes Messerly being released after only serving 7 months in jail, which really wasn't even a jail. He was like in a resort. We as a family felt this as in total injustice. Again, being victims of a violent crime, according to the Victims' Bill of Rights, again, the criminal justice system has let us down. I have just got back from Los Angeles believing, according to what I was told, that the trial will be on June 1st. As you know, it did not occur. It has been moved to June 13th. Again, I will be in LA. It's not even guaranteed that that will happen or even be a trial. It may just be a simple thing of Judge Perry going into the court saying he actually did his time and therefore he is already out. We've been informed that he's actually going to be released June 12th. And yet they have in a trial on or hearing on June 13th. So there's so much uncertainty, and it goes to show just how injustice this criminal justice system is when it comes to police officers being incarcerated, because victims are entitled to know the whereabouts of a convicted felon, to even be notified when a convicted felon is being released, so that we can at least be aware that our livelihood, our presence could be in danger. We feel that Messerly is a threat to not just the family, but the community. This man came up on that platform, as you can see in the video, spoke outrageously to the young man on that platform, punched Jackie Bryson, and yet at the same time murdered my nephew. And I use that word without hesitation, because we as a family see it as murder and still believe it was murder, and therefore will continue to say that it was murder. So I am here again showing the solidarity that we have and the much love that we have for the community and standing with us and speaking to this injustice.
Excuse me, how do you spell your name?
C-E-P-H-U-S, Uncle Bobby Johnson.
Wait, what's your first and last name?
First name, Cephus, C-E-P-H-U-S, last name, Johnson.
How you doing? My name is Jack Bryson. I'm the father of two of the young men that were on the platform with Oscar Grant, along with Michael Greer and Carlos Reyes. And I'm just here to speak, you know, for the young men, the family, the community, what was done that night, and then also how this system once again failed the people of color. What this system did is this man was convicted of murder. And he did his time in a county jail. He was, through the whole trial, he was protected by Judge Perry, who looked after him as he was his son or something like that, and looked at Oscar and these young men as they were criminals, when Johannes Mesley was a criminal. And it's sad to say, once again, the community gets slapped in the face. History always repeats itself in the black and brown community. And if this was a black or a brown young man that committed this crime, they wouldn't have done it in the county jail. They would have done it in Soledad, Folsom, and once again, the system proved that it's not, it doesn't work for men of color, but it works for Johannes Mesley, people like Johannes Mesley. And until we identify with racism, we'll never be able to correct this system. So that's all I have to say.
My name's Kim Rohrbach, Kim, R-O-H-R-B-A-C-H. We heard several minutes ago from Rachel Jackson about the epidemic of police killings that have happened since Mesley's sentencing. I've counted at least 9 just here in Oakland. There may well have been more than that. Just a couple of weeks ago, a joint OPD and DEA operation resulted in the summary execution of 2 young men. A day later, Michael Huerta, in a similar operation, was taken into custody, apparently in fine health at 3 in the morning when he was taken to North County Jail, called his family twice in the next several hours saying he was scared and felt ill. 9 in the morning or thereabout, he is being booked, suddenly goes into medical distress and dies. And the sheriff's department and the police department have not been forthcoming with any details. Similarly, Raheem Brown, many of us have heard about this young man who was killed by either Jonathan Belusa or Brahim Batts. Frankly, both were complicit in my opinion. They shot this man at close range, 21-year-old, shot him at close range 7 times, riddled his body with bullets. And just recently at an Oakland Unified School District meeting, these were officers employed by the school district, despite the fact that at least one of them had a history of lawsuits for use of excessive force and for violence. At a recent meeting, it was announced that the OUPD and Office of Internal Affairs concluded these men did nothing wrong. They're still working. Belusa is presiding over school board meetings in the capacity of being some kind of guard or something. This is outrageous. We cannot continue having people, young black and brown men, being slaughtered while cops get away with impunity and continue to work. Thank you.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness there is no God but Allah. I bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger. I greet all of you with the greeting words of peace. We say it in the Arabic language. As-salamu alaykum. Of course, this principle of peace that I extended to you in prayer is a principle broken right here at the Fruitvale BART station by Johannes Mesley on January the 1st, 2009. in which he had an opportunity when he engaged Oscar Grant and his friends to present peace. But what he, Tony Peroni, Marisol Domenici, and other officers brought to the platform on that fateful night was war. We stand before you because it is apparent in our eyes that crime pays police officers, that Johannes Mezerle was not made to pay the price for the murder of Oscar Grant. The fact that we're standing here on this day in which the family of Oscar Grant and others gathered up themselves, took time away from work, filled up their automobiles, traveled from wherever they were to Los Angeles, California, only to discover in the system of justice that it has no desire to give justice to a family that suffers. According to the jury, Johannes Mezerle was to be held accountable. We're looking forward to the time in which the system called BART will be held responsible for the murder and the loss of life of Oscar Grant. For the Grant family to travel hundreds of miles on the highway to go to a courtroom where the court itself had not enough respect for the suffering family to give them forewarning that there would be no need to be in Los Angeles. We had to hear it in rumors over Facebook that there would not be a hearing held on today. That's shameful. Shame on Judge Perry. Shame on the state of California. Shame on the people that the state represent, that it would permit a family to suffer as this family has suffered and to play games with court dates in this late hour. We're clear that Johannes Mezerle will be released from a county jail sometime soon. We understand that. But to force this family to endure games by the court, which played the greatest game on the day of sentencing, when Judge Perry spoke out and said from the moment we walked in the courtroom that he was troubled by the finding of the jury. When the jury arrived at a finding because of the advice given to them by Judge Perry. The jury, according to Judge Perry, only asked one question of him when they went to deliberate. They wanted to know how to handle the weapons enhancement charge. And when they arrived at a conclusion 15 minutes after the judge gave them his response, they came back with a finding of guilty on the weapons charge. Why should Judge Perry be troubled? He's troubled because he misdirected, in my mind, with malice, the jury. He intended to bring the least possible punishment to Johannes Mezerle because he was the first and only officer in state history ever to be tried and ever to be convicted for an unduly shooting of anyone in this state. Judge Perry is guilty. And as a result, he is sharing guilt with the people of the state of California. This is why every time we've spoken, we've recited a biblical passage to you from the book of Isaiah that says that justice stands afar off and equity cannot enter because truth has fallen in the street. We are here because truth has been knocked down. But as we all know, there's only a matter of time and circumstance before truth rises and wins. We are honored to stand with Uncle Bobby. And I'm honored to stand with all of these activists who have raised their voices for over 2 years. You don't see some of those you might have seen in the beginning, but these are the stalwarts. These are the heroes. These are the sheroes that have made certain that we would not only never forget what happened to Oscar Grant, but that we would never forget
the names and faces of the countless men, women, and children that have been gunned down by local and national law enforcement. So we say to those that are activated, stay activated. Let no one say to you that what you're doing is not the right thing. They're saying to you the same thing that was said to the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. when they wanted to know why he was coming to make trouble. And they would declare down in Mississippi, our Negroes are happy here. Well, let's be clear. We are not happy here. We are not satisfied that justice is being served, and we are not satisfied that there are enough men, women, and children willing to stand on the front line of justice. I say to you, give yourselves a big round of applause because you deserve it for standing for right, for standing for truth, and for standing for justice. Thank you. Keith Muhammad.
Spelling?
K-E-I-T-H-M-U-H-A-M-M-A-D.
And how are you affiliated with this?
I represent the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and am an assistant spiritually to the Grant family.
So the two essential messages that we want to be sure get out today. One is to the community of Oakland and the Bay Area, and that is to wake up, to stay alert. They're not going to tell us, just like they didn't tell us about the verdict and they didn't tell us about the sentencing, and we had to play this guessing game in order to organize, and their intention in that was to keep us from organizing and to keep us from getting in the streets. But as we have proved time and time again since 2009, you cannot stop us from mobilizing. You cannot stop us from organizing. We will not sit down. We will not shut up. We will not forget. And so you can play your games with a release date. You can play your games, but we are ready, and we will act on that day. And so our call to the Oakland community is get in tune with us on Facebook. There is a Facebook event page. Follow that event page. We will have up-to-date, minute-by-minute information, and when he is released, we will find out, we will let you know, and we will be here at 3 o'clock for Fruitvale BART, and then we'll be at 5 o'clock on the corner of 14th and Broadway. And everybody come out. Everybody come out and stand up and protest this injustice. The second message that we want to get out today is to Oakland, is to BART, is to OPD, is to the justice systems. We will not forget. We will never forget what you did to Oscar Grant. We will never forget what you did to Derrick Jones. We will never forget what you've done to countless unarmed young black and brown men. And we have said enough is enough. And we will continue to take to the streets, take over the streets until it stops. The next thing I'd like to do is invite any media that is here today. We're going to split into groups. Several of us are going to go into the BART and flyer. The rest of us are going to walk the streets of the Fruitvale District and flyer to bring awareness to the community that this injustice is happening and Johannes Mezerle is about to be let free. At this time, I'd like to open it up for questions, and then we'll close. Okay, that will conclude our press conference for today. Thank you so much for coming out.